This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Descriptions of the massacres that are happening in some of these cities outside Kyiv are like this. The new Auschwitz is what the Mariupol mayor is calling the Russian siege. This is from the Ukraine, saying there are 5,000 that have been killed, including 210 children. It's a hell, was another one of the headlines. An absolute horror, another. And these are what the Ukrainians are saying about what's going on around Kyiv. Has the strategy shifted when it comes to the Ukraine and Russia? From the Russian perspective, it seems it may have, as some of the sanctions are continuing to choke Russia economically. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us here on these airwaves on this fine week here in the United States anyway. Certainly a much different story, the pictures that are being painted out of the Ukraine. And as I said, let's face it, it is all about what the reaction is from the rest of the world. I think now so many of us, just in looking at maps of the Ukraine, really start to get what's happening at some of these towns outside of the capital city there. And there are six or seven strategic points. And I think one of the worst is some of what we've seen coming out of Mariupol. But there are others, too. And at this point, the reality looks like it is much worse if you look at the images of the atrocities. But what that's doing is, especially seeing children's faces, the atrocities of this war are fueling the flames of so many others in the world to try and do what they can to stop the Russian forces, short of having troops sent in from other countries. And I guess the key, I think, thing here is there enough for war crimes? There are certainly enough, I think, pieces of evidence out there that could be investigated in that direction. And it could accelerate all the video and all the photos that we're seeing, the investigations, because the atrocities have certainly ratcheted up. More and more outrage, as I mentioned when I first cracked open the mic, and more calls for more sanctions. But will they mean, as I said the other day, that word, a tipping point that could change Russia's approach to the war? It's pretty unclear. And of course it's unclear, because not much is coming out of Russia as far as what do we know in the inner circles. And it's still, it is this outcry from, I guess, many of us, including myself, as to, is it naive to think that there is a coup, maybe, against Putin? Is that possible? Certainly when we look at history, it has been possible in the past. There have been a couple of successful coups, but you have to go way back in the history of Russia to, like, 1917. The Bolsheviks. I remember learning about that in school. Maybe you had that in your history class. And what they did, the overthrow of Stalin's secret police chief in the 50s is one other example. I think some other people are probably talking about this. But there haven't been many examples of that. There was a recent poll from Russia's independent Lavda Center is what they call it, and it shows that 83% of Russians approve of Putin's performance as president in March. That's up 71% from the previous month. Most Russians don't have a lot of access to information outside of the state-controlled propaganda. And, of course, anybody who takes to the streets to protest, and there have been some brave souls, they face some pretty awful punishments in trying to express their thoughts on what they believe is happening in the Ukraine. So there is that. So it's not impossible that there could be some kind of a coup, because this is what the rest of us are thinking about. But the likelihood is very, very minuscule. Let's put it that way. Very minuscule. Meanwhile, closer to home, as so many of us weigh in on what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine, and that keeps ticking, ticking. That's been February since all of that started. And, of course, the new sanctions, that's happening. And weather. You know, it's spring, and spring brings some really nasty rain, tornado possibilities, especially in the south, as many of us know who live in the southern part of the United States. So there was a tornado watch that was in effect until, 11 o'clock on Wednesday, right before I came on the air. I was checking to see if anything had happened. And that was for South Carolina, big parts of South Carolina, including Charleston and Columbia and Savannah, Georgia even was another place. And there were some tornadoes that were spotted. There was hail up to 2 inches. There were wind gusts 70 miles an hour. When I say what's happening in your backyard and mine, and we look at images, too many images of homes where they've been ripped in half or roofs have just been peeled right off of the top of houses. There's even a flood watch that's still in effect in Georgia, big parts of Georgia until Thursday morning, because they've got heavy, heavy rain that could flood already pretty high rivers and creeks and lead to flash flooding. In this case, about 2 million people have been affected. So since Sunday and really the weekend into Wednesday, Thursday, we have really seen some wicked, wicked storms. I mean, dozens of tornadoes were reported Monday and Tuesday from Texas and Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina. And 38 or so have been talked about, meaning where people had little evidence, had pieces of evidence where they flipped open an iPhone and called the weather center or called their local TV stations. So they're suspected and confirmed twisters with some of those strong winds. And that brings, what, down trees, power lines, and homes that have been irreparably damaged, and businesses across some of those states that I mentioned. I talked about a guy in East Texas being killed Tuesday of this week when a tree fell on an RV in the community of White House. Another person died in Georgia because of the weather that swept through there. And, of course, in Savannah, they're declaring a state of emergency because of the impacts of a tornado very, very close by. When you see it, it's kind of mind-blowing, right? You see little tiny pieces. Sometimes, not all that the whole house has gone down, but you see little tiny pieces in the middle of a home where that's still standing. Like a hallway is still up, but the rest has just completely, completely fallen down. And it makes you think that when that wind roars through, what is the safest thing to do? Where do you go when you feel that kind of freight train headed your way? And the answer is lots of people jump into tubs and pull a mattress off a bed and try to put that on top of them. But sometimes those trees fall down. I saw a couple of pictures of really nice homes where a tree had just fallen down and taken out the middle of the house or the front of the house. So I feel you for everybody who is in that damaging weather system. Yikes. More to come on the flip side.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
And ends, things that are buzzing from the Hill include the House grilling some oil company executives on high gas prices and talking about that word they all hate to hear and hate to be accused of, and it's gouging, right? So I talked the other day about Exxon and their incredible quarterly profits, and that raised a few eyebrows. So on the Hill, I mean, this is easy, right? Because it's pretty easy to start asking questions about what's happening with the skyrocketing gas prices. You can have plenty of Republicans and Democrats that will easily sit there and lob questions to executives. So BP, Chevron, Exxon, they were some of the execs, and there were members from the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations. And, of course, the hearing came after costs for gas rose, and that started happening after Russia's invasion that I talked about at the top in February of the Ukraine, which then, in turn, led to the U.S. putting a ban on imports of Russian oil and gas. But the price of gasoline has dropped in the last couple of days, even last week. So as of Wednesday, you were paying an average, not everybody, because some were paying less, some were paying a lot more, of $4.16, and this is data from the American Automobile Association in looking across the United States and averaging what it is. And so $4.16 is that average that they came up with, and we know that number goes up and down. And when people in the U.S. get squeezed when it comes to gas, that's when they complain. So American taxpayers have had to pay out of sort of both pockets, so to speak, first at the pump and then through tax breaks, because some of those tax breaks have been taken away. So the executives looked, when they were questioned, looked at COVID-19, to COVID-19 rather, the pandemic as a reason for cost increases and talked about promoting increasing production to offset the spike, which the oil reserve, of course, has been opened up, and we know that's a million barrels a day, but that's not a quick fix. And what is the alternative to that? Exxon's CEO, a guy named Darren Woods, said that there are more widely available and affordable alternatives. We need to increase the supply of oil and natural gas. So who's to blame for the gas prices, right? Are American consumers being, you know, ripped off or not? I listened to some of the comments of some that are on that committee and what they're saying, and so you had Frank Pallone, for example, a rep from New Jersey, who said it's a matter of patriotism. Something has to be done on the part of you, the executives. And then you had another representative, Ann Kuster from New Hampshire, or Custer, I think her name is, who said one bad year doesn't excuse the practice of really ripping off the consumer. So while the pinpoint has been on, or finger pointing has been on, Russia's invasion of the Ukraine as the source of the pain at the pump, so to speak, there are higher prices that started to kick in before the war started. And what is it ultimately that is going to be done long range planning wise strategically to watch what's happening in this country when it comes to fuel? I said that there is a significant interest in electric vehicles, but are they affordable? And even if they're affordable to you, can you readily get one right now? Or because of the supply chain, are you in a situation where you're backed up, where it's not possible, you know, to get one? They're on order, but you're not getting it any time soon. I mean, when it costs $100 to fill up the minivan and you have a bunch of kids, that's where people are really, really feeling that pinch. And I don't know, this is one of those things, like I said, is it a partisan? And I think with Republicans and Democrats, this is one area where how easy is it to lob pointed questions at the people who run the oil companies when constituents of Republicans and Democrats are complaining, or actually physically writing, calling, and sending emails to their representatives complaining about gas prices, because that's what's happening. When phones really, really honestly start to ring, that's when the attention and the focus, that's where it goes, and that's where it gets, and that's where it gets pointed. And this is something that has happened, especially in the last month or so, where those calls have steadily risen. And what do politicians want? They want to do what they can to ease the burden of the people they represent, because they want to get reelected again. So they don't want to have higher prices and constantly hear the kvetching of the average American about what they're paying in their suburb, small town, rural area, or even big city. But it's more than the invasion of the Ukraine. It's the increase of labor. It's the additional taxes and inflation. It's the pandemic that's also pushed the pedal down on the speed of the increases in the prices at the pump. And then what we're seeing for crude oil, that's where you see it start to trickle down, and you know that it's going to be more. And I did like what one of the reps said, Anna Eshoo from California, who said, "Can't you bring more clarity to this than just saying that everything is so complex?" So you see the executive sitting there, and I saw just little bits and pieces of this. And of course, again, they're a sitting duck. They're going to get nailed for people complaining about the price of gas. And the answer was sometimes. I heard from a couple, including Exxon's CEO that I mentioned, Darren Woods. Well, it's pretty complex as to what we're relying on, blah, blah, blah. And it's pretty easy to be on the other side of that and say, well, why don't you pull it apart for us and explain and make it not as complex, right? I mean, the release of the 1 million barrels of oil a day from the oil reserves to really go after the high gas prices is certainly helping, but how quickly can you really feel serious relief from it, noticing what it's costing? Because if you are driving a lot, that means you're still filling up a lot, right? If you can't find a way around driving, imagine if you were an Uber driver, a Lyft driver, somebody who is in transportation for a living, especially with what's happened in that industry. And then you hear that Exxon and Chevron and BP and Shell spent more than $44 billion to enrich investors with stock buybacks and dividends. And when you hear that the profits rose, then that's what infuriates. That's not complex. That's what infuriates the average American, right? That's it, period. So you had one executive from Pioneer Natural Resources and Devon Energy. I know. You probably don't know what company that is. They said they're increasing output, but said no to decreasing returns to shareholders. While Chevron and Shell said that they could do both. I think in watching this, this is going to be interesting to see if the tide is turning when it comes to electric, because that's where a lot of the attention is flowing, and that's where the questions are coming in from people, and that's where some of the automakers are thinking, aha, if we can only get people to really grasp this concept and feel as though there are enough charging stations and seeing that we're trying to make them affordable and getting in line with getting on a list, we may sell more of these. Just talk to Elon Musk about that. Your thoughts coming up next as we head to the mailbag.
A brush and put on a little makeup.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Governor Greg Abbott of Texas is taking things to a new level in the fight against illegal immigration at the southern border.
Texas is planning to send any illegal immigrants captured at the border to the nation's capital.
Texas is providing charter buses to send these illegal immigrants who have been dropped off by the Biden administration to Washington, D.C. We are sending them to the United States Capitol, where the Biden administration will be able to more immediately address the needs of the people that they are allowing to come across our border.
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott speaking to reporters on Wednesday. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Jet fuel supplies are draining fast on the East Coast. Jet fuel stockpiles there fell for a third straight week to their lowest level seasonally since 1996. This is USA Radio News. Vaccine experts are meeting to discuss the U.S. strategy for future COVID-19 booster campaigns. Key questions include how often the vaccine should be updated against new viral strains and who should get them. The Food and Drug Administration vaccine chief says it's important to begin discussing the process for updating vaccines now. A subsidiary of one of the largest U.S. wind energy companies has been sentenced to probation in order to pay more than $8 million in fines and restitution after at least 150 eagles were killed at its wind farms in eight states. Next Era Energy subsidiary ESI Energy pled guilty. Prosecutors say the company was warned its wind farms would kill birds, but it proceeded without a required permit. The company president said collisions of birds with wind turbines are unavoidable. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mel? I'm dying to talk about the mail for you all day, okay?
Oh, yeah.
The mail,
we didn't have to dig far. You know I say that all the time. Thank you for all your email. All of you listening can send me your thoughts 24-7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Max in Austin up first. He says, Kate, wow, I have to say, I did laugh so hard when you talked about the fox that was there at the Senate building and then was also in the other area where the Congress folks navigate their way to their chamber outside, that a fox was nipping at people, including those that were sightseers. But I guess in all seriousness, you talked about the shots that one of the congressmen had to get. But in all seriousness, I guess this fox that they, animal control, captured had rabies. So that's not good news for anybody that felt, you know, that was victim to this foxy fox on the Capitol grounds. What a strange, strange story. Yeah, you know what, Max, that is the follow-up to it, so thanks for that. I guess nine people, you know, this fox tested positive for rabies, but bit in some way nine different people. And, of course, they came out, they were calling an aggressive fox. And there was pictures posted all over the place of the fox in the cage after they had gotten it, and the fox had to be, you know, euthanized because it was rabid, and it did get to, you know, several people, which is scary because you think Did everybody report what happened? Did the fox go up to anybody where maybe they got nipped and they just kept on going and you know, this wild fox happened to get them and now they're in danger because the crazy amounts of shots that two different people reported, it was like 12 different shots that they got. And, of course, that's what you're concerned about is the animal rabbit and it was, which kind of maybe makes sense as to why it was doing what it did. But luckily they caught it. But did everybody who got caught by the fox actually go and get the shots that they needed to get? All right, this one is from Hal, and this is pretty interesting because I haven't talked about this very much. I have talked to people on the ground about this, but I haven't talked about it very much. And this is Hal, who listens to us on KCAA in California. And in California, they've been asked to cut their water use because water shortages, right? You think of the wildfires, the drought that they've gone through. And I was just reading a story about that they've been asked to cut really for the last year and a half, maybe even 2 years, to try to conserve water, but they're not really stepping up in their efforts. The goal was to reduce urban water use by 15%, and the number that they've come up with is 1%, right? The cumulative water savings, which is what they need, 1%. You know, you don't think about this. You take it for granted until you're in an area where there's water shortages, and you have days that you're only allowed to water a lawn, or you see the price of water soar because of the fact that the availability isn't there. Many decades ago, when I was in school and I was in Spain, they were having problems with the drought, and boy, water was scarce. You never got water at a restaurant. Never. I mean, you have to beg for water. And you saw giant signs everywhere in Madrid. And there was things about how often showering and how many minutes and all this sort of stuff. So they're trying to get people to understand that. And there are parts of the state where people used more water than they have back in even 2020. So the Sacramento River region, the water use was up almost 7%. And in the inland desert, which the Colorado River region is what it is, of Southern California, people there used 3.2% more water. So others in the country are listening to this, and they don't maybe have that issue. But when that does happen, and they start to activate different levels of contingency plans when it comes to the drought, you feel that pain. You feel the significance of just taking something for granted where, oh, well, you know, yeah, we can fill up a pool. We can run the water when we're brushing our teeth where it just keeps on running, running, running. You're not thinking about it. But when it gets super critical, they start to find people, and they drive around and they watch what people are doing. You know, there are people directed to do that from water boards, and then they consider bans on watering grass at businesses and other properties. They call it like non-functional areas where they won't water, and you really see the serious impact of that. In Texas, I've gone through that a little bit too, but it seemed almost painless, not as bad as in California. There were alternating days, and there certainly were signs around about the severity of, you know, the fact that there hadn't been any rain and the lake levels, the reservoirs were so low, and the critical need for more water and to have more rain. But that was just little intersections of time. This has been a couple of years. So in California, where they wanted to cut water use by 15%, they were hoping that more people collectively would get on board with this. They've saved, as I mentioned, that number, less than 1%. 1%. And in Texas, because they're also having a drought, some of the worst in years, could there be a disaster looming there, too? You know, these are, again, things that you don't necessarily think of off the top of your head, even if you realize that it's around you. All right, let's move on to this one. This is from Charlie, who says, hey, Kate, I don't know if this is happening near you. I hope not. And for all of your listeners who live in other parts of the country, because I know they listen from other places, I'm an Easterner turned Californian as I moved to San Diego because of a job a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic. I have to say I love the area where I am and feel blessed that I have the job that I have, especially when so many of my friends saw their jobs disintegrate during the pandemic. But we're all riding this edge of your seat coronavirus cases on the rise thing. And I hate to report, but out here in San Diego, we've seen that BA2 that you've talked about, and it's starting to increase a little bit more. I'm monitoring what's happening locally, and so the conversation is that the numbers are starting to climb. It's not a full-on major surge, thank goodness, but there are conversations about an uptick in this BA2, and I pray to God that this does not explode and become something more contagious than Omicron at the beginning of the year. What do you think? I'm going to sit right there next to you and say the same thing. I hope to God that we don't see that, absolutely. And it's not just, I mean, I guess it's all over California. I have friends in California and Los Angeles, and they've talked about, there's more conversation about that. They're talking about outbreaks at schools, and when you see that, and that accounts for some of the rise, that's when the conversation starts to go back to, do we need masks, or what do we have to do? Or now there's this conversation about another booster. And mostly now, like in New England, they're talking about BA2, that it's 75% of the cases. And in New York, same thing, and in New Jersey. And now on the West Coast, the conversation is about it as well, 61%. And so it's starting to climb a little bit. And, you know, is it at that point where it's going to fuel more of the conversation about, okay, here we go again? We're not hearing the here we go again, not hearing that. And we do not want to hear that. We do not want to hear that. But it is something you got to track and pay attention to, certainly. All right. Let's squeeze another one in from, Bob, who says, Kate, I've listened to the show for a long time. It's the first time I've sent you an email, and I know that you just came back from Florida. And did you happen to notice, were there a lot of New Yorkers there or not? I live in Connecticut, and I used to live in New York, and a lot of people, frankly, left New York City during the pandemic, but even before the pandemic, because of the rising costs of living there and being stuck in smaller areas and the outbreak during the pandemic. So I saw a number the other day, I don't know if it was in the New York Post or where it was, that more than 60% of New Yorkers say they would be better off someplace else. And so you wonder how much the population in a Brooklyn or Manhattan or one of the other boroughs has really dwindled. You know, I would be curious to see a solid survey of that. You know, it's interesting you say that, because there was that survey where, and this is voluntary, where people believe they would be better off, so more have decided to leave, and some of them have fled to Florida and other places. If the economy isn't there for them, of course they're going to go and seek a home somewhere else. Thanks for all the mail, everybody.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out, just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
They say I'm crazy, got no sense, but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent. I am my own superintendent, and my star is on the ascendant. That's why I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what they may think of me. I'm happy, go lucky. They say that I'm plucky, contented, and carefree. I don't care. I don't care.
Boy, that would be a good way to be, wouldn't it? I don't care. I don't care what they think. It doesn't matter. And I think the Braves don't care because as we have opening days in Major League Baseball, there is a Braves burger that is, yes, $151. $151. If that's not... Yeah, if that's not ridiculous, that is a mic drop moment. So it includes gold leaf foie gras, lobster tail. Ugh. Does this sound appetizing to anyone? That's my first question. Heirloom tomato, bib lettuce, Tallamook cheddar cheese, truffle aioli, and it's on a buttered bun. $151, by the way, that price tag represents 151 years that the Braves franchise has existed. Oh, by the way, they do throw in the fries. It's Parmesan waffle fries, and you do get a replica World Series ring. Now, that'd be kind of interesting, right? So for $25,000, fans can get the burger, because that's the catch. They're not just throwing in the ring with the $151. For $25,000, I'm not kidding you about this, you get the burger and you get that limited edition authentic World Series ring while the supply lasts. So they believe there's enough wealthy people that have nothing to do. They're not worried about the price of gasoline like many of the rest of us, or inflation, or, oops, I can't get what I need. Oh, I can't get my electric car. No, no, no. If you can pay $25,000 for a burger to get this authentic World Series ring and all the things that that burger entails, you're burning through money. You don't care. It doesn't matter, right? Which is crazy. Well, other people might be just hustling up on the side, a pulled pork sandwich, or maybe they get a funnel cake, you know, or maybe they're getting fries, regular fries, by the way, or maybe a sundae. So the Braves World Series win in November was the fourth in franchise history and first since 1995. So somebody in a meeting, in a marketing meeting, or I don't know, somebody higher up decided, what can we do? What can we do to get people really excited? People, maybe the people with money, because we're going to give bobblehead doll nights and dollar hot dog nights. But how do we pull in the people that have the jack to spend? How do, you know, it might be limited, but don't you think we're going to get that $25,000? I mean, then you think about, all right, the cost of the authentic ring and the cost of the burger, would it really be worth that? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's in the eye of the beholder, but that just seems so outrageous to me. And I'm not going to let this story go. So this mic drop moment, I'm going to follow up with the Braves, and I want to know how many people are ponying up $25,000, and how many people are also paying, we'll check like in the next month, how many people are also paying just the $151 for the burger. They got to believe it's going to sell. You know, now that's, so that also means that's not tickets, that's not a parking pass, so that's not like season tickets behind home plate or something. That's just straight out your ring and this burger, right? I think of all the things that I've seen in sports and all the clever ways to get people excited about any sport. Usually, not always, because certainly with season ticket holders, there are special events and whatnot, but usually, or luxury suite owners, but usually there is really a push to get the common man, so to speak, into the ballpark. What can we do? How do we get families here? How do we get people to get interested? You know, the people that are fans, but they're not going to enough ball games. How do we fill the seats? A lot of times, the conversation is so much about that. So I was pretty stunned when I saw the thing about the burger. And I don't know. And maybe it's just me and my palate is like the common man. I am just like all of you. I am the common man. But I can't see eating a burger with lobster on it. I mean, I don't know. But I'm not a big lobster eater. But still, lobster squished on my burger and then all the other things that I mentioned, including those incredible, priceless Parmesan waffle fries. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Anybody? Anybody listening to the show? Send them to me. We just did the mailbag. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Wow. Craziness, I tell you. Craziness. All right. We're going to bring this back. We used to do a Tech Tuesday. We've talked to a lot of people in technology. We've been lucky enough to have some of those conversations. And actually, coming up on our next show, we're having a conversation about the supply chain woes with the CEO of a huge manufacturing company. That's happening in our next show. And it's interesting because what do you do when you're in the furniture business to get around the delivery of furniture and appliances? And they are pretty unique. I'm not going to spoil it, but that's coming up in our Thursday show. And technology was actually part of it. Some of what they use technology to do is pretty pretty, pretty mind-blowing. So just in a quick check of tech, I was very surprised. Maybe it's because time just flies for me, probably like the rest of you. But Apple is actually 46 years old. Can you believe it? So you go back in your mind and you think of, I mean, there's now been these biopics on Steve Jobs and how the company started and all of that. But Apple's been around 46 years. And, you know, when, and now that the pandemic has lifted and we're hoping, fingers crossed, that BA2 doesn't push us back into some sort of isolation, it's become like a religion, right? Where whenever new products are released, you still have people lining up to get the product, whatever it is, the new latest, greatest iPhone or whatever. And the whole Genius Bar thing, that you go to a mall or you go to another area. It could be an outdoor or an indoor mall. There's more outdoor malls these days, but they've got an Apple store. And you go to the Apple store, and if you get there right when it's opening, people are lined up. People are making appointments to go and mess around with different gadgets. And usually they walk out with more than just a quick fix for whatever their phone happened with their phone or AirPods or whatever other devices they have, you know, the iPad and whatnot. And you just wonder if guys like Steve Wozniak back in the 70s when they had the very beginnings of this company, when they were there in the very beginning, could they really honestly have envisioned, I mean, they could envision, I think, success, but could they have envisioned just what it's become? I mean, just how quickly they pump out products, just how quickly that you get people in sync with bigger, better, the next generation, the next latest, greatest, that you have a perfectly working device, but you're willing to pony up the money to get the next latest, greatest a year later. And every time you go in this, every time I go in the stores are always packed. I don't think I've ever been in an Apple store where casually there's just, oh, there's only one or two people here. No. Usually it's filled to the brim, or at least brisk capacity of people. So when the pandemic hit, I think that was something that was tough for people that were used to playing around in the Genius store and just headed in with whatever wasn't working and getting somebody to download their data or fix whatever was wrong with whatever device they had. But it was pretty genius of the people at Apple to create the world that they created. So 46-year anniversary. On that note, we got to say adios for this hour anyway. Thanks to Nathan Reeder for his incredible work, as always, on the technicals, and all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.